Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is David Nagel. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today we are releasing a special episode going out this week in lieu of a couple of things that I find pretty interesting that I wanted to talk to a little bit about. Some of the controversy that's going on out there. As many of you know, Tiger Woods won the Masters over the weekend, and a big shout out to Tiger and his family and his supporters. Great win. Congratulations to Tiger. I think that's absolutely amazing. It's been a long time coming. I think that it's a pretty interesting story, and that's why I wanted to address it. I've been watching the news on this for a couple of days, and a lot of the comments that are going on out there. Seems like there's a couple different camps in play. You've got the Tiger supporters, the people that are in his camp cheering for him, happy to celebrate with him, happy for his win. And then you've got the people that are either on the fence or coming from the place of, you know, this guy's made some pretty big mistakes in his life, and pretty publicly, and he hurt a lot of people, and he shouldn't deserve public accolades for this. I mean, this goes all the way back, BT, to people thinking that he shouldn't have even been allowed to play golf again, if we remember when that happened. And I wanted to talk a little bit about it because I think it's an issue that needs to be discussed, and I think that this is there's some dark here that I like to bring into the light. The darkness is that this man is a human being just like the rest of us who made some serious mistakes in his life. There's absolutely no question that he made mistakes. He stepped out on his wife. He betrayed their marriage. I think there was a DUI involved in there somewhere. And he took ownership for it, and he went and sought treatment for it, and he publicly apologized for it. And here's what my issue is over this thing, that some people don't think that's enough. Some people think that he should lose everything for the rest of his life. Or that he should not be allowed to be a public figure or be celebrated or ever win again. And I think that, you know, the deal with this, the big problem with this, is that that kind of damnation over someone's mistake is what induces shame and guilt in society. It does not allow people to overcome it. And it replicates itself one generation after the next, which is what causes this behavior to begin with, by the way. It's my opinion that as far as what Tiger did with his wife, with cheating on his wife, the problem, the thing that he did there that was not okay in my book was that he was dishonest about it. If Tiger wanted to go out and live a life that was sexually free and have multiple partners, as long as everybody was a willing participant and of age, that's his own business. The real problem is the deception. But deception always comes, it's always rooted in shame, because that's what shame does, is it causes us to deceive, it causes us to keep secrets, and it's to replicate that then when somebody does something, instead of holding them accountable, having the person own what they did, and then do whatever is necessary in order to correct the behavior That's what we should be looking for, is a society with people. But then celebrating the transformation, celebrating, you know, moving on to the next phase of life and coming back and winning. Because what that does is it reinforces something that's very basic to our nature, which is that there's not a fucking human being on the planet that has not made a mistake or done something wrong or done something that they wish that they hadn't done. I totally agree that there's different severities of that in a person's life. And some things are, you know, there's a consequence for it that are paid for a lifetime. Like if you murder someone or you have a DUI and you kill someone and that results in, you know, a life in prison or whatever it is by our justice system. So, you know, everything being put in its proper perspective, the idea here is that when we come from absolute total shame and damnation over someone's mistake, we never break the mindset that created that in a person to begin with. So, you know, Brandon, you know a lot about Tiger's career, much more than I know about. We talked about this a little bit. What are your opinions on it? What do you think?
Yeah, this is a really sensitive subject, and I may not be the foremost expert on Tiger. To be honest with you, I've watched Tiger grow into his career over the last 20 years. But I've not been like his number one fan, not because of what he did off the course, but, you know, I've always been sort of late to adopt greatness. You know, I didn't always root for the Michael Jordans, the LeBron Jameses, the Tiger Woodses. I was more of an underdog kind of guy. So I was more of a Phil. But having witnessed what Tiger did this past weekend really put into perspective for me the idea that a person can, you know, have a rapid rise, they can fall, and they can pick up the pieces and rise again. And I think that in sports especially, we love that redemption arc. And I think we got that on full display this past weekend. And I know that I read an article this morning that was basically asking the question, is it okay to cheer for Tiger?
Yeah.
Because we all know what he's done. Now, if we go back early on in his career, you know, his records speak for themselves. I wrote down a few because I didn't want to miss any, just to talk about the greatness that is Tiger. Now, let's separate the off-the-course stuff for a moment. And I know it's hard to do that, but bear with me. So, first and foremost, he's got 81 official PGA Tour wins. That puts him one shy of the all-time record behind the great Sam Snead. So he's going to get that. He's now got 15 majors, three behind Jack Nicklaus, which is like the pinnacle of golf. Jack Nicklaus is considered the greatest of all time in that field. Tiger is now three behind him. Now he was four behind him 11 years ago.
All right.
So a lot has happened, but now it's back on the table. He's got the most PGA career earnings. He's got the lowest scoring average in the history of the PGA. He won the U.S. Amateur before he even turned pro three consecutive times. That's never been done, from 1994 to 96. And that's when I first was introduced to Tiger and saw what this man was about to do, and he went out and did it. He's been player of the year 11 times. I think what's most fascinating about this is he last won a major title in 2008. So it's been 11 years since he's been at the height of this game. And what's crazy is 2 years ago, he almost quit.
Yeah.
Like, he was talking about this past weekend about how at the Champions Dinner, which is a specific and exclusive dinner for only those who have won the Masters at Augusta, he was talking a couple years ago about he didn't believe he'd ever come back and play golf. His body,
he's injuries, right?
Injuries.
Yeah.
His back. I mean, you can go online and you can see a schematic of all the injuries that Tiger has suffered. He's got such a powerful swing that his entire body, people don't look at golfers as athletes. That's straight bullshit right there.
Right.
The wear and tear on a human's body. Yeah. It's not physical contact like football or soccer, but I'll tell you what they put their body through and the torque that it requires to hit a ball 300 plus yards. it's insane. And they're always on, they're always swinging, they're always practicing. What you see on Sundays on the course is not what they do. That's when they get to show off. You don't see them get up for 2 hours, hit balls, go play, go back and hit two more hours worth of balls. It gets exhausting. I'm a golfer myself. I've golfed my whole life and it is tiring. And to see him do it at this level with the wear and tear on his body is absolutely crazy. Now, here's the piece that I think is really fascinating. And you brought up the apology he did in 2010. I mean, the timeline of the scandal is this. November 2009, he crashed his SUV outside of his Florida mansion. Everybody's seen the pictures. Everybody knows what happened after that. The infidelities came out to light. He apologized for those in 2009. You can go online. You can see the apologies videos. I feel it's sincere. And you can also take a look at his mother, who is absolutely mortified sitting in the front row watching him do this.
Right. I remember that.
Like, she's seeing him bare his soul in front. She's both upset with him, but also understands that he is taking ownership of it. And I think that's a piece that gets missed for the people out there that are saying, well, I can't root for Tiger Woods because he's a cheater. Once a cheater, always a cheater. I believe in second chances. And I found myself defending Tiger more in the past 2 days than I believe in the history of defending anyone. And I don't know where it's coming from, but I feel like this episode gives us an opportunity to talk about his return to grace after such a mighty fall. Yeah, you may believe that once a cheater, always a cheater, but the second chances, I feel, are warranted. We are human. We make mistakes. And this was a very private man. Like Tiger, yeah, he had millions in endorsements and he was selling cars and selling insurance and selling Nike, which their stock surged the other day, by the way. So yeah, congratulations, sure. Nike shareholders. But what I find interesting is that, you know, when his private life became public, that's when people felt the need to pile on. That's when they said, you know what, now he's one of us and let's just push him down into the ground and make him feel worse than he already does. You can see it in all the interviews he did after that, you know. And what's interesting about this whole thing, David, is that him and his wife are really good friends. He stepped out on his wife many times in 2009 and it came to light and it was a horrific thing for the media and they piled on it. But those two, they came together for the sake of their kids. And Tiger is an excellent father from what I have read. Elin is an excellent mother from what I have read. And they coexist on a level that they're friends. She will never forget what he did, but she forgave him. So I would ask, what is it about a person that can't forgive someone on the outside who isn't even close to it? Why can't they forgive what this person has done? We won't forget it. I mean, you can. It lives forever on the internet. But why can't we forgive? I think that's the big piece for me.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think that what we're really dealing with people that are condemning is the lack of admission and forgiveness of themselves for things that have happened to them or things that they have done. And it's just sheer projection onto somebody else's public shame and humiliation and mistake of what it is that they did. I mean, you know, most people make mistakes and they live in a privacy where very few people ever know about the mistake that they made. And this man stood up and owned that mistake in front of the entire world. And I'm not celebrating the mistake from in any way like that makes it okay or whatever. But in a way, it actually does. And so here's my take on this from a mistake perspective. Anything that we do to take that mistake and continue to shame it, it does two things. Number one, it infects our heart and soul. Because we're carrying the shame and the guilt and the anger and the projection, and then we're pushing it on to someone else, or we're spreading that within the people that we know. And it's telling a lot of other people It is not okay to make a mistake. So here's the problem. We're all going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes until the day we die. And if the message consistently says it's not okay to make a mistake, then what ends up happening is that those issues that we have, we keep them hidden. And we don't bring them to the light so that we can heal them, so that we can learn about what's causing behavior that we have that is hurting other people or hurting ourselves or dangerous behavior. And we don't work and learn whatever it is that we need to learn in order to be able to hear it. So in my view, it should be very cut and dry as far as, look, a person did something wrong. We condemn the behavior, not the person, right? So it's like people say, he's a cheater. No, he's not a cheater. He's a human being, just like everybody else, and he cheated. So there's a big difference there, because when you condemn the person and when you make the person their behavior, you shame the person. Shame is saying something is inherently wrong with me. The action that somebody takes that is not a good action or not an action that's based in a good value system, that action is something that's being caused by something inside of him that says, I can't express myself. I can't be who I really am. You were telling me I wasn't actually aware, but he went to like a sex rehab.
Yeah, he checked himself in right after the 2009 situation went down. He did check himself in. I believe it was something like 45 days in a behavioral therapy in treatment facility. I believe it was in Mississippi, if I'm recalling correctly, where he did take steps to deal with what was a sex addiction. That's what he was really dealing with. And that was early on. I don't know how often he went after 2010, but I know that he did check himself in to get help.
Yeah. So the doing that, and I'm sure that you'll have a lot of people say, well, he just did that to save his career, or, it wasn't sincere or whatever. I don't think anybody knows that but Tiger.
Right.
So here's the thing. A lot of us have behaviors that actually the behavior itself, there's nothing wrong with. The deception around the behavior is what causes the big problem. And like I said earlier in this, the real issue here is that he lied. It's not in as much as the behavior itself, as long as it was condoning people that are involved in it. My biggest concern, though, is that when as a society, if we just walk around condemning people and we don't look at ourselves and ask ourselves the question, what is it in me that's causing so much anger, so much condemnation of somebody else? We're not focused on our own life. And change begins individually, right? We want society to change. We have to look at ourselves first because we are society. If we want everybody else to change because of how we feel, there would be no way for that to happen. Like, it just, because everybody has a different opinion as to what should be done with a person that's like that, that's coming from a condemnation standpoint. So, like, who would be right? Who would be wrong? How would a person ever live up to any of it? And in many cases, some people would be so angry that they think that he probably, should go to jail or lose everything for the rest of his life and suffer like crazy. And that's coming from a person who's suffering themselves.
Right.
That's really what that is. So, whenever I see something like this, regardless of the person's behavior, some people have made really, really serious mistakes that have affected the lives of other people for forever. Like in the case of murder, like was it last week we lost Nipsey Hussle? I mean, it was such a tragic thing that this man was murdered right outside of his store in Crenshaw. And here's a guy who's looking to add value to try to bring entrepreneurialism to his community, to try to change the minds of the people that are there, showing them that there's something there for them. And the way the story is that I'm understanding it currently is basically somebody else who is jealous and envious of what was going on, another rapper, you know, first went up to him and was talking to him and then came back 5 minutes later and gunned him down. And it was brutal. Like, you could see, like, if you saw the video, I don't recommend people go watch the video. It's not a good video to watch. But I watched it from an educational standpoint of when I heard the story, I wanted to see, like, were they exaggerating what this guy did or not? And they weren't exaggerating. He came back 2-3 times, shot him again, kicked him in the head. You know, and then his brother finds him in the parking lot, and he basically dies in his arms, type of thing. But that, you know, there it is again. It's like not dealing with our internal wounds and then projecting them onto somebody else to such a degree that this person has to die for it, right? When you know, this whole misunderstanding about people, because somebody has something, I can't have it. I can't have it too. When you look at Tiger, the amount of good that he's bringing back to the sport, because golf is a troubled sport. Sure. We all know that. Troubled meaning that it's having, you know, not as many people are golfing as right. they used to. And it's a great sport. I mean, it's an absolutely fantastic sport. It's done great things for the world. It's brought a lot of jobs to people, a lot of enjoyment, to individuals. But when somebody does something to come back and then to add value, like, most people make a mistake like that and they go back to work, right? He came back and added value. Because of him, there's thousands of people that keep their jobs. There are companies that benefit from endorsements. There's people that he's able to help. He's able to help his children more, his family more. What he continues to do with this, I don't know. But I think that we really go down a dark path in society when we start taking that and just condemning a person so fiercely that we don't give the opportunity for redemption to occur and for a person to be able to actually do something of value and good, to come back and say, hey, listen, you know, I mean, if he wanted to, he could be like, look, here's my story. Here's what I did. Here's why I did it. Here's what I learned about myself. And I just want to speak to other men out there or other professional athletes or other people in positions of power. Like, here are things that you're susceptible to because you may have this issue receiving love, or you may have an issue with your own sexual expression or whatever issue you may have. And allowing people to step more and more into the light with their darkness so that they can heal and actually do something. We'll probably never know the amount of people that he's actually helping by being courageous and publicly overcoming the mistake that he made. And I just think that, you know, I think it's a fantastic thing. And I just want to say again that it's not that I'm approving the behavior. I don't think it's there to approve or to disapprove. It's really to look at, like, what's causing this. Because if we don't start having the conversation in this society about what's causing these behaviors that we're totally just ripping people to shreds about, then the only thing that we do is we bring more anger and hate into the world. We have to have the conversation about healing. Yes, it can't be tolerated. A lot of these things, like the Me Too movement, they're doing a lot of great things out there. They're bringing a lot of light to things that have been going on for a long time, and those things can't be tolerated, period. They have to be stopped. And we have to have the conversation about what's causing people to be like that to begin with.
The two things I really like about this, David, that you've brought up, and you've said it already here, you know, you talked about condemn the behavior, don't condemn the person. I think that first and foremost hit me right between the eyes. You know, I may be triggered by something that someone does, but I can condemn the behavior, but I don't necessarily have to condemn the person. We are not meant to struggle for eternity because of a screwed up mistake that we made. I don't want to pull back the curtain on my life, but believe me, I've made plenty. I'm sure you have as well. Yeah. I'm sure that everybody out there listening has. And for them to be able, the words that kept going through my head the last 48 hours is people who live in glass houses. That's all I kept thinking about. I kept saying to myself, like, who are you to condemn this person for what they did 10, 12 years ago? I get it sucks. It's horrible. Let's condemn the act. Let's not condemn the person. And I really think that that is something that the people out there are probably going, they might struggle with that piece. They're like, nope, I'm firm. I'm set in my ways. But the one piece that you said that I really, really, really hung on to was that if you're affected by this in some way, and we live in divisive times, like we are, our political climate is divisive, our country is divisive, and we can blame that on this, that, or the other, but blame gets us nowhere. The reality is if something is bothering you, shine the light inside. What is it about you that you're reacting in such a way? What is it about you that sees Tiger Woods only as a cheater, forever a cheater? What are you hiding? What is behind that? Right? So whenever I'm triggered, it's hard for me to get to that place of what can I learn from this? Or what is it that, what is it in this person that I'm seeing in myself? Because it's a mirror, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's a mirror. So I think it's really interesting to kind of flip that inward and say, what is it about this man that has me so riled up, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, life is a mirror for us. And it's really interesting to also take in, you know, like we do this for a living, where we work with people making transformations for a living. And that's our business. That's our passion. But a lot of people are just going around their day-to-day life and they get sucked into something that they're not even interested. Like a lot of people be sucked into this. They're not even interested in golf. You know,
Right. They're
just interested in condemning someone. And it really, it's like, seriously, like you wouldn't even notice it if there wasn't something going on with you. You know, it's very easy to like, let's just call it what it is. Right. It is total judgment. But here's the thing. People who judge. That's what they do. And they judge because they're judging themselves first. They're so afraid of what they have done that will be exposed or what somebody has done to them, and they're holding on to that rage and anger and hurt, and they're not allowing healing for themselves. Here's another part of this that people don't realize. Not only is his life exposed in this, but so is his wife's and his children. And their ability to heal is also affected by everybody else's behavior. Now, yeah, you can make the argument like, well, they're in the public life. That was their choice. Yeah, okay. That's true. I totally agree with it. But before you throw a stone
in
a glass house, you should think to yourself, is what I'm doing actually helping this situation, or is it making it more difficult? And she had to go through shame. His wife had to go through shame. The kids have to go through shame. They're going to have to deal with people saying things about her ex-husband and their father for the rest of their life. So that's an absolute truth. That's a fact. And we either are part of the healing of this or we're part of the continued problem. Because if the kids now carry shame because of what their father did and people not forgiving that, now they have to work on theirs. They have to overcome it, or they'll repeat the behavior. That's like psychiatrically we know this, right? If people repeat the behavior of their parents. So again, we're either helping the problem or we're making it worse. I'm for let's help the problem, right? We condemn the behavior, but we help the person.
Right. And this is so much more than a golf story, right? This is about being human. And I love how it fits. This is your wheelhouse, David, because this is what you teach in your events, like how people can get out of that generational J curve you've talked about and be able to recognize that they did something wrong,
yeah,
and then learn from it. Because if we learn from it, we hope to never repeat it again. And it, actually, the episode that dropped earlier on this week about removing toxic people, you mentioned that same thing. Like, hey, we make mistakes. Let's learn and grow from it, not repeat the same pattern. To my knowledge, Tiger has not gone back to that person he was in 2009. But even if he did, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. What the guy does on his own, if that's how he chooses his way to express himself, hey, good for you, man. I appreciate that. Because healthy expression is so much better than suppression, as you've already talked about here. But this is so perfect because it's what you teach.
Yeah, it is, and it's what we live. So, you know, my offering to everybody that's listening to this is don't judge, love, bring healing. Like, you don't have to agree with it, what he did, but send their family love and healing energy. Don't condemn it. And for the people that think that those two things don't go together, like the fact that he cheated and this victory, they absolutely go together. Everything in our life goes together. Everything that has happened to us and that we have done and experienced in our life has been 100% essential for us to be the person that we are and to go on and be the person that we are going to be. You know, there are so many people that have fought with all different kinds of addictions that then saw the light, they got help, they got into recovery, and now they help other people do the same thing. If we took those people and we just damned them all to hell because they made horrific mistakes in their life, then it would never heal. This would never heal. Nothing would ever heal.
And we would deprive ourselves of that greatness. Their greatness.
Absolutely.
We would deprive ourselves. If we isolated those people, every single person that ever made a mistake, we isolated them, we would never get to see that redemption piece, and we would not be able to learn from what they did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's great. I'll tell you, I this is a very divisive topic. I get it, but we would love to hear from those of you out there. With love, you know, whatever side you fall on, we totally get it. Send us an email at tsm@davidnagel.com or leave us a voicemail, speakpipe.com/davidnagel, so we can kind of get a sense of what you out there are feeling. We typically don't put out special episodes like this, but I think this one was warranted. And David, thanks for taking the time to, you know, help, you know, sort of push that human element out there, as well as the let's bring peace and love and prosperity to all who listen to this. So I greatly appreciate you taking the time to do this today.
Absolutely, T. Thank you very much. Talk to you everybody soon.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.